You know, this Brandon Miller thing is pretty wild with the Alabama Crimson Tide, but would we all feel the same way if it was a Razorback in the same situation? I'd like to think so.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome into Locked On Razorbacks podcast. I am your host, John Neighbors. I am also the host of Out of Bounds. You can catch every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on 103.7 The Buzz and 103.7thebuzz.com. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Thursday, getting a little closer to the weekend. But I'm going to do something on the podcast today that I haven't really done ever since doing this podcast. And that is actually leading off with a story that's not necessarily Razorbacks related, other than the fact that it is an opponent that Arkansas will be playing this weekend. But I like to pride myself when it comes to my podcast and when it comes to my radio show that I will always discuss and talk about the things that all the Razorback fans are talking about. And in some cases, it's, in fact, almost all the cases, it's always Razorback related. But this one is kind of an interesting tie-in. And it's, of course, if you haven't heard or you haven't been watching the news or seeing on social media, it's the Brandon Miller situation. A player for Alabama that's a phenomenal NBA caliber athlete, a lottery pick who's had a great year, might be, I think without question, he is the best freshman in the SEC and has proven it time and time again. But we know that yesterday it really came out in the situation of his where he was involved with the murder of a woman over there in Tuscaloosa that Darius Miles, a teammate of his, was actually arrested for and charged with as far as being accessory to the murder. And then when the police reports came out, it had Brandon Miller very much involved in the situation. Now, this is a very touchy subject, but it seems to me that there are so many different layers and questions and things that I think people are concerned about that may not have full answers or anything like that. But basing it off the facts that we do know and basing it off the police reports and everything, I think that it's without question that people who, like me, who feel like Brandon Miller should not be playing and should not be a part of the basketball team there at Alabama, I think it's warranted. You know, it's not something that's just thrown out and, you know, hopeful or just, you know, oh, it's because you're playing Alabama, whatever it may be. You know, it's nothing like that. But it really kind of took a crazy turn last night when Brandon Miller played and dominated South Carolina, won the game by himself, scored 41 points. And to see the reaction and just the feeling of it, that's when I started really feeling strong about it. It's like I already had my opinions before the story or as the story was coming out. But when I saw him out there playing, I'm like, this is wrong. This is just wrong. So I want to be clear in saying this, that all the stuff that at the time of this recording, these are some of the facts that have come out. There are facts about it that are undisputed. And there are a lot of things going on with the investigation continuing on. I don't know if anything's going to change from any sort of element, but still, just the things we're going to talk about are just things that are public knowledge and that are stories. A lot of stuff is, you know, alleged type things. So just keep that in mind when we're talking about it. But Brandon Miller's lawyers and attorneys released a statement yesterday when dealing with the situation and saying that I won't read the entire thing because it is quite long. But what they were saying, and well, let's retrack it a little bit. Let's go back to what actually was being reported in the police report. Is that you had a situation where Darius Miles had needed his gun. He had a gun. It was one that he, you know, was licensed with. It was his gun. He was owner of it. And it was in the vehicle, or at least in the possession of Brandon Miller. Then Darius Miles texted Brandon Miller and asked him to bring his gun because he felt threatened. That's a fact. That is a text message. After that, Brandon Miller then showed up to the scene. And according to the police report, was also one of the vehicles that had blocked in the exit in his vehicle to keep anybody from getting out. Five shots were fired. And we know the young lady that was just in her early mid-20s, her life was taken. She was a mom. And after that, that's pretty much where it kind of comes to an end. Those were all the things that were put into the police report. And those were the things that were understood. Now, Brandon Miller's lawyer puts it out. And lawyers, I should say, and say Brandon didn't know any context when apparently Mr. Miles and Mrs. Harris, the victim, apparently exchanged words. He said the attorney said that Brandon didn't know any of this context. He was already on his way to pick up Miles. Miles texted him asking to bring his firearm. Brandon subsequently arrived at the scene to pick up Miles. Brandon never got out of his vehicle, interacted with anyone in the party. He was never involved in a verbal altercation. He never touched the gun. He was not involved in an exchange and never knew that illegal activity involving the gun would occur. That's what they're trying to say. And they also say that Brandon did not block the Jeep driven. He had already parked on the street and the Jeep pulled up behind him. So their attorneys are saying that it was just a coincidence and a circumstance. Gunfire erupted. Brandon's vehicle was struck by bullets fired from the guns, and then he quickly left the area after the gunfire erupted. As soon as he was notified that someone had been injured and the police asked to speak with him, he was fully cooperative with the law enforcement investigation. And there it is. So that was what the attorneys had said that all went down. Now, again, I know that we all have our opinions on this, but just knowing those facts, though, like forget the attorneys. The attorney's response, or at least the statement there, just looking at it from the facts that we do know, is that he was asked to bring a firearm. Like, he was texted by Darius Miles to bring his firearm to him because he felt like he was being threatened. And this is happening on the strip in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And that's what he was asked to do. And somehow, there's no sort of responsibility or accountability in all of that. That's my problem that I have with this whole thing, is that you can't sit there and say with a straight face that Brandon Miller had no knowledge or has no like responsibility in this entire thing. He had the gun in his possession. Darius Miles texted him saying, "Bring me my gun." Brandon Miller showed up with the gun, brought it to him, and then shots were fired shortly after. You cannot tell me that in any way, shape, or form that Brandon Miller is innocent of any blood on his hands from this murder. Because if he doesn't deliver that gun, if he doesn't deliver it, then that woman's probably still alive today. That's what's kind of the whole scary and terrible thing about all of this. So that's my thing, is like, forget all the other details. Forget all the other things that, you know, came around the story. I'm saying forget it as far as how I feel about with Brandon Miller in that situation. That is a fact that cannot be and will not be disputed, that he was texted to bring the gun and he brought the gun. And shortly thereafter, that gun was used to murder somebody. That's the fact. And I just cannot see how knowing that, and Nate Oates' statement yesterday, wrong place, wrong time, or a couple days ago, and then he tried to clarify it. My take on that was like, no, that's what you, he's like, I didn't know all the details and stuff. Okay. So if you didn't know all the details, you should have either one, kept your mouth shut, or two, if you didn't know the details of it, you're lying about that because it seemed to be, or you're either lying or you're an idiot. Because with my Y players was involved and got involved, I would want to know every single detail from beginning to end, ask everybody. I want to know everything. So that way I can make a decision based on those facts. So you either lied about it, you're either an idiot about it, or you just were completely and totally feeling that it was not a wrong place at the wrong time, and you just felt like it was fine. Like, I just cannot believe that this is something that's happening right now in college basketball. And the only people that are out there really defending Brandon Miller are Alabama fans and even some Alabama media, which is extremely disappointing. Extremely disappointing. I went on social media last night and talked a lot about it. And gave my thoughts, because again, it's like people are like, well, why do you care? Why do you bring it up? Well, I mean, it is relevant in the way that Arkansas is playing them in basketball this weekend, and that Arkansas has played them, and they're a team that is in the SEC and it's a high profile team, a high profile player. Like, all those are true and all those are facts, but it's just disappointing to see some of the reactions from people, especially there in the state of Alabama when dealing with this. And it's disappointing to see, because let us be honest about it. If Alabama wasn't one of the best teams in college basketball, and if Brandon Miller was not one of the best players on that team in college basketball, he would have probably been suspended. But because of who he is and what he is and the team he's on, and that they're, you know, destined or at least going to be in a situation where they can win a national championship, everyone's just turning their eyes. Well, it's okay. He wasn't involved. He brought a gun to a murder scene where a woman was murdered, an innocent woman was murdered. He did that. The guy texted him. He knew he had the gun in his possession, and he brought it to him. Again, That is an indisputed fact. And how I wanted to kind of tie this in with Arkansas, and again, some of you probably are just already turned off the podcast because you're sick of it and sick of hearing about it, but I think it is relevant. The reason I brought this up in dealing with Arkansas is this. Last night, I got so many comments and tweets at me about if this was an Arkansas player, you would feel differently. You know, if this was, I'm not even going to use any Arkansas player's name because I don't even want to do that. But if there was an Arkansas athlete that was in the same position as Brandon Miller, then I would feel the same that Bama fans would, and I'd be defending him to the death. No, I wouldn't. Because let me put this into perspective for everybody out there. I'm not saying this to see him like some holier-than-thou person or anything like that. I'm saying it because it's truly what I believe. I believe in forgiveness. I believe in second chances. You know, I'm an American and I'm a Christian. I believe in those things. I really do. But the thing is that when it becomes something to this serious nature, and say if this was something that was happening at Arkansas or they were in that situation, and the same facts had come out and the same deal was going on for, you know, what Brandon Miller's involved in, and it was a Razorback athlete, my stance would be the same. You know why? Because as soon as you're involved with something like that, as soon as you're involved in the way that Brandon Miller was involved in the murder of an innocent woman, and if that was a Razorback in that situation, in my opinion, you are no longer worthy to have that Razorback on your jersey. You are no longer worthy to be representing the University of Arkansas in the athletic department if that is what situation you were in, if that's what you did. You're no longer worthy of that. That's something that means something to Razorback fans in this state of Arkansas. Like, I know it's cliche to hear, and I know that it's easier said than done, but we're not talking about something for a kid getting in a fight, or we're not talking about a kid getting busted for smoking pot. Like, we're not talking about things where kids just make dumb mistakes and do dumb things, but they bounce back from it. We are talking about the murder of a human being, to which a gun was transported by a star basketball player to the murder scene, and the murder was committed soon thereafter with that firearm. If that was a Razorback, I would not want them on my team. I would not want them representing the University of Arkansas, and I would not want them at all wearing that Razorback or having that Razorback anywhere around them or on them or anything like that. This is a much more serious situation, much more serious situation than we've ever seen. So spare me all of that nonsense about, oh, you'd feel differently if this was your guy. Or, oh, you know, you're just saying it because it's Alabama and you don't like Alabama. Spare me all that. I don't care. I do not care if this happened on the West Coast, East Coast. I don't care if it happened in the Midwest. I don't care if it happened in Canada. I don't care where it happened. Wrong is wrong no matter what. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, wrong is wrong. Brandon Miller's wrong. And he should suffer the consequences for it, because a woman lost her life directly with his involvement. Something should happen. And I still am just feeling like I'm in a twilight zone, that this is just fine and the guy's still playing. It's just absurd. So I don't care if it was Bama player. I don't care if it was a Razorback player. If it was a Razorback player, I'd feel the same way. I would not want that person here. Not want him here. So I when I hear all that and I see people saying that, I'm like, that's a cop-out thing, man. Because let's be honest about this. Let's be perfectly honest about this for all you Alabama fans, which I'm sure a lot of you are already in the comments section because you're just looking for people to go up and defend the honor of Brandon Miller for whatever weird reason you have. But you would not feel this way at all if it wasn't for your team being really good in college basketball and Brandon Miller being a really good player. That's the only reason you would feel this way, and that you do. And ask yourself this, Alabama fans. Would you be feeling the same way if this was Auburn? This was Auburn that did this. Would you feel the same way? Would you be defending that player for Auburn the way that you are Alabama? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. Bama needs to do the right thing. They won't. They won't. But they need to. But this whole thing about, you know, again, Arkansas, you would feel differently. I wouldn't. And I hope every Razorback fan that watches this would feel the same way. This is just a horrible thing, an absolutely horrible thing. And Brandon Miller, Nate Oates, Greg Byrne, everybody involved in Alabama needs to be held accountable for this. This is just absurd. Anyways, done with the Brandon Miller situation. Let's move on to some Razorback stuff. But here in just a second, we'll do that. Because right now, I got to tell you about FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back on if your first bet doesn't win, you get it back. Just download the FanDuel Sports app, and the best thing about it is that it's safe, sound, secure, and super easy to use, which we know with apps sometimes can be all over the place. But if you download this FanDuel Sportsbook app, you can be able to bet on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drained, all of those things. Plus, FanDuel lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So no matter what type of creativity you want to do when it comes to your sports betting, FanDuel has you covered. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so moving on into the next segment of Locked On Razorbacks podcast, we kind of had some fun with this yesterday in talking about the Razorback basketball team and people kind of being high on them. And I saw this other great little article, too, up on CBS Sports. And there's a few of the experts, the college basketball analysts that were on, talking about different things when it comes to NCAA tournaments and champions and, you know, who's going to be the one seeds and two seeds and all that fun stuff. Like, you know, just constant topics of conversation like that. But they decided to go through a particular topic I found interesting, that they wanted to take a stab at identifying four teams below the two seed line in the bracketology that have a shot at winning the national championship. So essentially, that any team that's not one of the top eight teams that'll get those top two seeds in the NCAA tournament, who has the best shot at winning a national championship? So they got together and, you know, they talked about it and came up with some few teams. But David Cobb had them, without a doubt, the most interesting pick of them all, because some people took Virginia and things like that. David Cobb selected Arkansas. And this is what he wrote. He says, "You hear that, right? Cup your ear in the direction of Fayetteville, Arkansas, and the sound is unmistakable. The Must Bus is picking up speed and starting to hum right on schedule. After reaching the Elite Eight following a late season surge each of the past 2 years, Arkansas is coming to life once again. The Razorbacks, who are 19-9 and 8-7 in SEC, are merely projected as a 10 seed and still considered a bubble team in team in Palm's latest bracketology," which I disagree with. "But with a five-star freshman, Nick Smith, working his way back into a featured role after an extended absence on the Hogs playing nasty defense, this team has the ingredients to compete with anyone next month in the SEC and the NCAA tournaments." Whew. Also says Arkansas got off to a rough start in SEC play, which led to many riding off the Razorbacks. They lost five of their first six games in league slate and posted a 3-5 record from December to the end of January. But things have started to turn around. This team is getting healthier. The Razorbacks have won five of their last seven, including triumphs against the likes of Kentucky and Florida. So I hear that and I see that, and I'm like, "Woo, that is a big statement. That is a big statement for Arkansas and for anybody that covers college basketball and feels strongly about it, at least." But I start to see it and I start to, you know, really think about it and really wonder. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to pick Arkansas to win a national championship right now. But it continues to go back to just how much of a difference Nick Smith can make and how much of a difference it could do for just rotations and depth and everything. Because if you just think about some of the stuff that's changed for Arkansas as the year has gone on, obviously Nick Smith, but, you know, knock on wood, the fouls have really, really come to a halt for the most part, considering how many times Arkansas was fouling in the early part of the SEC season. Like every game that Arkansas played in, there was like 45, 50 fouls, it seemed like. Now, is maybe the SEC changing some things, or maybe the officiating changed a little bit? Maybe. But the reality is that they've done a good job of not fouling as much. They still turn the ball over a good bit, but it's still better overall than what it was. So you're talking about two important things, turnovers and fouls, that Arkansas has really improved upon as the year has gone on. So it's not just a Nick Smith thing, which obviously is a huge factor about it, but it's also that they have just been doing things better. They've been shooting threes better, a lot better than what they have been. They have been able to, I'm going to say make their free throws at a higher clip, but, you know, they have games when they have, they're capable of it. But, I mean, they've done a good job with that. I think they've done a good job of passing the ball, having a lot of assist. I think they've done a really good job of shot selection and, you know, being able to take good shots and make good decisions there. So all these things, I'm like, it's all getting better. It's all has gotten better. You had those two straight losses that were frustrating. The Mississippi State one was one you just didn't play well. And A&M, you played well, but you just A&M's a good team, and they took care of business against you. So got to give credit where credit is due. You had chances to win, but you didn't. So, you know, there are factors about that. But in that case, I just feel like, you know, they have things that they're getting better at. They have pieces that are working. But the fact that people are starting to see like, hey, this could be something. This could be something gives me excitement, but also gives me a little bit of concern there too. So I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. But let's talk about that best case scenario, because I got asked about this on social media to talk about on the podcast. So we'll talk about what the best case scenario is for Arkansas moving forward on the other side of the break here on the Locked On Razorbacks podcast.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so final segment here on the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. What's the best case scenario for Arkansas basketball? Like, what's a realistic thing? Well, obviously, the best case scenario is, hey, they just win out. You know, like, hey, easy as that. Win the next three games in the SEC regular season, and then win the SEC tournament, and the NCAA tournament comes a-calling. And honestly, like when I was asked about this, they're like, because people really wanted to know, like, if they did that, if they ran the table and finished out the regular season, winning these next three games on the road against Bama, Tennessee, and Kentucky, and then won the SEC tournament, which we don't know who they'd be facing, but you think Arkansas would probably be a five seed, flirting with it, maybe even a four seed, depending on what everybody else does there in the SEC tournament. You know, how would that look, or how would that play out? And I'm like, you know, let's play that game. If they did that, they would finish the regular season at 22-9. They would be 11-7 in SEC play. And then they would have, at least, you would think, three quality wins in the SEC tournament. So you're talking about six straight wins, I guess eight straight wins if you count the last two, to finish the season. And more than likely, at least five of those would be against NCAA tournament teams. So they would be probably a five seed, I think, at that point. They'd have to be bumped up to a five seed. Have to be. Because your net ranking would be through the roof. Your quality wins would be through the roof. You'd have a bunch of Q1 wins. You have almost no Q4 games themselves, much less losses. So I think you would be a five seed, maybe even flirting with a four seed, as crazy as it is to think. But I just consider the games that they won and how they finished. I think a lot of people would take that into consideration. But that, again, that's a lot to ask. That's a lot to, you know, try to talk about and try to figure out. But I think more realistically, Arkansas can go 2-1 in these final three games. I do. I don't think I'm not going to pick them to beat Bama this weekend, just because I think Bama at home, and you know, they're obviously very motivated over the hate that they're getting. But I think that they will probably struggle, probably lose that one. I think they can beat Tennessee though. Tennessee's looking pretty vulnerable, so I like Arkansas's chances in that game. Not saying they'll for sure win, but I'll probably pick them to win, and especially if Arkansas plays well against Alabama. And then Kentucky at home, I think they'll win. So finish 2-1, 10-8 in conference play. Gives you a 21-10 record. Regardless of that in SEC play, I still think you'll probably end up with a 7-8 seed somewhere in there if you go 2-1. I think you're in the NCAA tournament. You got to win at least one more. Beat Kentucky, you're for sure in the NCAA tournament. At that point, you'll probably be a 9 seed. And again, that's just barring off of nothing happening in the SEC tournament. So, yeah. So that's about the best case scenario I could see for Arkansas. They got a lot of work to do. They got a lot of things they got to take care of. But I think that's about what I'd expect out of them. But hey, listen, they got to take care of business. I can't wait to see where it goes. Can't wait to see what the game's going to look like against Alabama on Saturday. And I can't wait to preview Alabama and Arkansas tomorrow on the podcast. So you won't want to miss it. Appreciate everybody listening in to the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Google Play. You can also get after me on Twitter at BuzzJohnNeighbors for any questions, comments, concerns that you may have. We'll keep it going from there. Same podcast time, same podcast channel tomorrow afternoon. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you then.